my favourite miracles in the Bible. I love this fellow with the little shriveled up hand because Jesus tells him to do something impossible. He's like, stretch out your hands. And he's like, I'm sure people are like, oi, just leave him alone, will you? Like, you can't do that. That's the whole thing. Just what? That's like really unfair to this little guy with his little shriveled hand. And Jesus is like, yeah, stretch it out. It's almost like teasing him. And yet it isn't. It's like, I suppose, when he says to paralyzed people, get up. You're like, oh, leave him alone. He can't get up, Jesus. It's like that. But I like this one with the withered hand. Because it's this guy, and he's got this hand that just, you know, it can't do anything. Jesus is like, stretch it out. I love it. Just that simple little action. Now, these stories were carefully selected by God himself to record these for us so that we all would have hope. John says, I've recorded these. Said, I could have filled the whole world with books about Jesus, but I've selected carefully certain stories so that you could believe who he is, the Son of God, and that you would get life. You would get life by trusting Jesus. That's it. John says that's the reason he wrote his book. Matthew, they were all saying the same thing, but I like the fact that John just said, this is why we've selected the stories we've done. These stories are not just like weird incidents from long ago. It's like just random selection of miracle stories. They've been carefully chosen. Mm. Now, think about this one with the withered hand. Think about what that man, this story about this man, means. Like, obviously, it means Jesus can cure physical disabilities. Obviously, that. Like, yeah. But why tell us that story? Because he must have, from the sounds of it, he healed like thousands of physical disabilities. Why tell us this story? What's important for us to grasp? The point is this, isn't it? He's a man who can't act. He can't do things. He can't do what he wants or needs to do. He hasn't got the capacities and will not do it. So in the Bible, the word hand symbolizes the power to act. Even it says like God's right hand. Like they even talk about God's right hand is his power to act and rule and get things done. Our strength. So a hand in the Bible, a person's hand. You'll notice this as you read through. They'll sometimes talk about what a hand, he stretched out his hand to do this. And sometimes it means that was his power, that was his strength, his capacity to accomplish something. So here's a man with a withered hand, meaning he hasn't got strength, he hasn't got capacity, he can't accomplish things that he wants or needs to do. And in a way then, what the story is doing is, all stories in the Bible, you kind of have to think your way into them and imagine yourself. Now, in this one, you say, I'm that guy. I don't have the capacity. I can't do what I want to do or need to do. I can't do it. I feel that way. Like my hand, my capacity to do what I need to do, what I should do, what I want to do. There's something withered about me. That's what you're supposed to do, when you see when you read it. If we're cut off from the life of God, you know, like when you cut a flower, it becomes withered over time. And at first it's not obvious that it is, but given enough time, it becomes very obvious that it's withered. It doesn't have life flowing into it. That's why this guy with a shrivel withered up. It's like a hand that hasn't got the life, the blood going into it properly, and it's become incapacitated. And we're to say, I don't feel life flowing into me. I can't do what I should. We find ourselves controlled by passions, fears, anxiety, obsessions, deceitful desires, ideas, delusions. And we actually do things that we hate. We do things we wish we weren't doing. Now that's really incapable. It's not just that we can't do the things we want to do or should do. We actually do things that we don't want to do. Why do we do that? It's because we don't have the capacity to act. There's something withered about us. We don't do the very things that we need to do most of all, whatever they are. So one person just says this, godless human nature is withered and powerless. If we can grasp that, because that's a hard thing to accept, you might say, no, I don't think that's true. Well, meditate on it. Meditate on it. It is true that human beings are captured by things inside them that mean they are powerless and they don't realise it. Without the life of God that comes to us through Jesus, we can spend our lives doing things that have no future, that are lifeless things. All our actions can be withered down to things that are withering and wasted. So we say, I'm getting lots done, but there's nothing of any meaning. You're not doing anything of any substance. Does that make sense? So to do things that matter, that things that are waiting, that have eternal fruit, things that last, to do that, we need to be healed, given life and power. So Jesus goes into a synagogue. Now that's like a local church meeting building. He goes into like a little local church. And when he arrives there, he sees that these people are not on... Well, remember, he's the Lord God. He's just walked in. Now, if that was a healthy place, they'd be like, God's arrived. Oh, man, this whole building's for you. What do you want to do? Amazing. That's what they should have done. But they're actually like, hey, hang on. Are you going to follow the rules properly? And you're like, what? Hang on, this is the Lord God. Like, if there are any rules, he's invented them. And, you know, he can do what he wants with them, can't he? Really? But they're actually bothered about religious forms and rules. More bothered about that than real human beings. They're not like, oh man, God's arrived. What's that going to mean for us all? All our problems, all our questions, we can get someone there. They're like, well, hang on. Has he done what he's supposed to do? It's like, what do you mean God's supposed to do? So the Lord God think about this from his point of view. He made human beings as the pinnacle of all creation. The crowning glory of the heavens and the earth was the creation of human beings, Adam and Eve. The special, unique creature made in the image of God, and he made this us, designed us, to share his own life. So he could kind of marry us and just share life with us forever and ever and ever. And think about Sabbath, because the issue with the bother about Sabbath, they're like, there's this Sabbath day. Now, the point of Sabbath is we have got to obey all the Sabbath rules, because otherwise Sabbath's going to be disappointed sort of thing. We're going to mess up Sabbath. And he's like, well, hang on. I created you as the climax of the whole creation, and then I decided to have a day off, to have a breather and go, wow, that was good. And I said, you have a day off too, so we can enjoy each other. The point of that is I had a day off with you, so that you have one. And the point of that is so we could be like, share life together. That was why I did that whole day of resting. So we could have time together and enjoy each other's company and have a bit of space for that. And they're like, oh, forget that. Forget all that. No, that's rubbish. Like, the question is are you doing the rules properly? Is that what? If there are any rules, surely the only point of anything like that, the only point of any of rules, if there are any, is to enable that to happen. That to enjoying the life of God, connecting up with this living God who can fix us and we can call to him. And we may say, I'm too busy during the week, I don't really call to him properly. And he's like, that's all right, let's take at least one day where we do, you know, you do give some time calling to me and then I'll answer you. And they're like, nah, forget that. Nah, like, hang on. Like, what about this? What about, like, is he going to try and help someone today? Because we have a rule that says you can't help people today. He's like, what? But you don't even follow that rule. Like, if you've got some sheep or something and it's tumbled in a ditch, you pull it out. Now, if you know you can break the rule to help a little sheep or something, like, the human beings, like, created, the whole universe is about human beings. Surely we could, like, if you, surely we can help human beings, can't we? Isn't it amazing, like, the way that he approaches it? It's totally different to him. So when he comes to that local church building, he can see they're messed up. They've lost sight of reality. So the living God had entered the building, and he says, listen, if you know that you can break the rules to help a sheep, surely you can see how the rules must be broken. If remember, he hasn't made all those little rules, like this rule, like you can't help people on the Sabbath. That's not in the Bible. That was just them. They come up with that. But even then, he's like, can't you see how, let's do whatever we need to do to help human beings who are more important than sheep. But you see, that fact that they're like that is insight, isn't it? And that withered problem. Because we do tend, when we're cut off from God, we think stupidly. We do the most stupid things and think the most silly, illogical things. They're like, no, that's how it is. And then it's just ridiculous. And we do it all the time. We're cut off from the life of God. Our values, our thinking, our behaviour gets messed up and confused, and it makes no sense. But when we suddenly come into the presence of the Lord God, and he's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And it's like, oh, what am I doing? Why am I thinking like that? Why am I acting like that? But that's how we are. Human beings, we're just constantly messed up and in our minds, the way we're thinking and assessing. And he's like saying, hang on, you'll help a sheep but not a human being. And as soon as he says it, we're like, that's ridiculous. Yeah, it is, but we do that sort of thing all the time. Yeah. Why are we like that? Well, the Bible says, because our thinking's clouded. Like, in our minds, the mess is in our minds. And we can't think straight. Our withered lives need the life of God. So Jesus turns to this man and gives him an impossible command. Stretch out your little withered arm. And he's like, and then he's looking at him and he obviously thinks, I think this guy can deliver. He's saying something that's ridiculous. That sounds ridiculous. But when he says it, I kind of believe it. And it happens. It happens. And this is the very thing the man can't do. He stretched it out, it says, and it was completely restored just as sound as the other. So the power to do this was not in himself, no matter how much he tried. He maybe tried to stretch out his arm 10,000 times in his life. It's like, oh, today I'm going to do it. But he just doesn't have the capacity to give himself the life that he needs. But as soon as this man gives the command, and he's like, I trust him. He said, I can do it. I can do this impossible thing because he says it. So when the living God informed us, steps into the picture, everything's different. Everything's different. Everything's different. When we encounter the one who made us, the one who gets us at the deepest level, he can unravel all that messed up thinking. He can make that. No, hang on. Can you see where you're going wrong there? This or whatever. Then, when we meet him, anything's possible. He can rescue us, set us free, breathe life into our withered hearts and minds, and allow us to stretch out, open up, and receive the power to do what we need to do, what we were designed to do. So that's the challenge. We're finished. My little thought. Do we trust Jesus? Do we recognize that he has this authority to command even the world itself, and to accomplish extraordinary things, and to rescue us? Do you recognise that without him, you're withered and lost? He's been down to the depths of death to rescue you. And he rose to life so that you could have a new life and not live a withered existence. Do we trust that if he says the word, we too can be healed and brought to life, no matter how messed up or withered or dead we might feel this morning? So therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the honour, all the all majesty, all the worship, now and forever. Amen.